if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Pod Sports presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, chilling. You?
Good, baby.
Dude, I'm so excited. You know, a lot of NBA playoffs, they started, so every game's been good and the first round's been solid. Julio and Shannon Sharp broke the internet earlier today and it was amazing. But, you know, before we start the show today, my man probably wanted a second. So, my man, take the floor.
Just real quick, usually we all know, right? I started pot with your family, right? So JD, can you do me a favor? There's a little video I sent you. Can you roll that for me real fast?
Let me look for that.
I just want to scream congratulations to my man JJ. My man out here macking biddies, bro. I mean macking biddies, bro. He went to Niagara Falls with the missus, proposed, got a yes. Look at the diamond. Oh, I wish I was her. Man, she blessed. But congratulations, bro. Much love and nothing but happiness in your future, bro.
For sure, man. Damn. For sure.
I never thought I'd blush on TV, but that's beautiful. I appreciate you guys. Everybody in the group chat, everybody in the family is just so happy for us, and I appreciate that reception. So thank you. But let's get to business, guys. You know, Aaron Rodgers did not show up to work today. And usually if you get a no call, no show, you get fired. But usually when you somewhere and you do the things you do and you're the mother man like Aaron Rodgers, you know you can pull some strings. Ain't nobody gonna fire you. You know you that guy. He just came off an MVP pride. That's what you do. Sure, maybe he came a game short from the Super Bowl, but you took an L to the man, the GOAT. How you say it? Thomas Patrick Edward Brady Jr.
You know, yes, sir. Ain't no
shame in losing to that man. So you know, but there's been a lot of talks, you know, about the GM and Aaron Rodgers pride. You know, whether one of the two are gonna go because Aaron's not happy. And the guys upstairs are saying, we want to keep him, but I don't know. It's going to come down to Aaron. So, Pride, from a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that Aaron Rodgers will be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers?
I'm still at about a 5. I think it's 50-50 that he's going to leave and that he's going to stay. I think it's about 50-50. I haven't really changed my stance. I think it's going to be the same as before where he told y'all what he wanted. Green Bay, answer the call, or let him walk. That's really all it's going to come down to. Now, eventually it's going to come to a point where Aaron Rodgers is going to sit down with him and say, all right, this is the last time I'll be in the office with Brian Gutekunst, right? I learned how to say his name, right?
There you go.
I learned how to say it. Never in my life will I ever try this hard to learn GM's name.
That was really impressive right there, bro.
Nah, bro, because the thing is, because Aaron Rodgers is calling him something that sounds like his name. Right. If you listen to the end part of his name, that's what Aaron Rodgers called him. Gutekunst. I'm gonna say it like that. So right now it's between Brian Gutekunst, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron is saying, yo, if y'all don't pick me, that's fine. Yeah. It's gonna get to a point where eventually Aaron Rodgers will say, y'all have till this day. If y'all don't say nothing by this day, I'm out. There's just nothing else to really talk about. Aaron's kind of been quiet for the most part. In terms of him going out and talking to like the media and stuff like that. The only time we really heard about stuff is when him on the low is calling Brian Gutekunst Jerry Krause. You know what I mean? Like, but in terms of him coming out, he's not saying nothing. So that leads me to believe he wants to stay in Green Bay. He wants to be there. But Brian Gutekunst don't want him there. And no matter how much he says he wants him there and he goes, oh, yeah, we could work it out. No, you can't. Because you spent the last 3 years telling this man you're not the dude no more. You convinced upper management, the people above you, to move up in the draft to get Jordan Love. You can't sit there, tell the dude you're gonna be scrubbed. You're telling him, you're looking him in his face saying you're not gonna get a long-term contract, the one that you want. And now all of a sudden, oh yeah, bro, come back here. Like Aaron looking at you funny. You feel me? Like, so I'm still 50-50. I think eventually within like the next week or two, Aaron Rodgers is going to say, all right, hey, yo, this is the date. If y'all don't make a decision by then, I'll make it for you. I think that's basically how we're heading along. I got the bridge ain't burned, but there's flames on it. There's flames on it, and Aaron Rodgers has a fire extinguisher on hand, and he's just waiting for Green Bay to give him the green light to like hose it down. But he's waiting. He'll let it burn. He don't care. So yeah. it's gonna be very interesting to see. Like I said, in the next couple weeks, I think Aaron Rodgers is gonna put his foot down and make a clear cut ultimatum. You have, let's say, a month. You have by the preseason to get this man out. If you don't get him out, I refuse to play for y'all. So it's gonna be very interesting, but. Like I said, right now, I'm not too alarmed. I'm still 50-50. The ball's still in Green Bay's court. And if no improvements are made in the next week or two, you definitely should be worried. But as of right now, I still think it's 50-50.
That's fair. That's 100% fair, Pride. But I just want to ask you a question, bro. What can they do? You understand what I'm trying to say? What can they do to keep them happy? Just fire guns? Is that
yes,
all?
Yes, because that's what he said.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
He came out and said,
now check this out. Though. I hear you, bro. You fire, you get rid of Gutekunst. You have the same exact Packers team. Still have the same exact Packers team.
Packers team that just went to the NFC Championship.
But still is not enough. That team is still not enough to get over the hump. Is what I'm saying. I believe Aaron Rodgers.
So what team can he go to that will take him over the hump? There's really not that many teams that will go over the hump.
I'm going to explain to that in the next segment. I'll get to who can take over the next in the next segment. But there's definitely teams out there that are currently constructed that can take Aaron Rodgers to the next level. So I'm just saying the teams that are out there that can need to get on the phone because this situation isn't getting any better, guys. It hasn't been progressing. If anything, there's been steps that's been taken to the to actually – affect the organization negatively. I don't think missing OTAs is over here thinking it's going to make upper management think any better. Like, oh, yeah, he's for sure coming back. If anything, they're hitting the panic button right now. And if they're not either dropping an empty check or they're not firing the GM or they're not making any improvements with the team, then I've been saying it for the past 3-4 weeks. Aaron Rodgers is gone. He will not start for the Green Bay Packers. And if none of that happens, well, guess what? He doesn't even have to play football. He can just relax for a year or so and sit out until, guess what, something is made. He's not stressing football right now, Pride. So I understand the Packers may have some type of leverage.
But why not retire now?
But the most leverage, because he still believes they can play, Pride. That's why he's
But if he doesn't care about football, he should just retire now.
Doesn't care about football. He doesn't care about the Packers organization. That's what I'm saying.
So here's my question to you, right? If that were the case, why doesn't he pull Deshaun Watson and say, regardless of what y'all do, get me out of here?
Because he'll play the Packers if they get rid of Gutekunst, correct? Right? He wants to play for the Packers if Gutekunst isn't there. There you go. If Gutekunst is there, he's not playing.
So you just answered your own question.
That's what I'm saying.
Check this out. But check this out.
Because the contract they just gave him.
Even if Gutekunst is there or not there, the Packers as currently constructed isn't enough to get Aaron Rodgers past the next level. That's what it is. I believe so. So I think the proper acquisitions offensively and offensively more than defensively, honestly, need to be made by the end of the week, not just firing the GM, bro, because you still need to construct the team. And just because you fire Gutekunst, who are you going to bring in that's going to make musicians or try and bring somebody to help Aaron Rodgers? Because I'm telling you right now, guys, Gutekunst there or Gutekunst not there, regardless to what, as that team is right now, they're not getting past Tampa. They're not getting to the Super Bowl. So
Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe that, though. Because if he would have believed that, he would have dipped. That's the I agree with you. This Packers team's not winning no matter who you got at quarterback. Unless Tom Brady decides to relocate, they're not winning under the Super Bowl. But obviously, Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe that. Because if he were to believe that, he would go, hey, yo, y'all could do whatever y'all want. I'm not dipping. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, he's not saying I'm out, period. He's given the Packers ample opportunity to make a move. They just threw him a new 5-year deal that he loves now. That he's like, this is the deal I wanted. It was like a 5-year fully guaranteed. If I'm not mistaken, it was like $100 million or something like that. That I was reading up on. He got a new deal that he likes, but he's not signing because Gutekunst is still there. That's what I'm saying. If they fire Gutekunst, he's going to sign on the line and say, fine. And in terms of you asking who's going to replace him, me and JJ said this last time we spoke about this. It don't matter. As long as Aaron Rodgers is involved in that process, it won't matter. It won't matter because now Aaron Rodgers says, I want my voice to be heard. He's like, my voice right now is saying fire my Brian Gutekunst. That's it. That's step one. Once they fire him and they bring him in and they get someone that Aaron Rodgers likes, then there's no way he's going to bounce. There's literally no way.
So before I take the question, Sander, what how confident are you that he's going to start then from 1 to 10?
One being worse, 10 being he's going to start.
What one being you don't see him at all being a Packer and 10 he's going to be there.
Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
Yeah, you know, I do feel both sides, and it's funny. It can really go either way for the most part. But I think I'm around where Pride set a 5, and it really all depends on how this Green Bay organization decides to move forward with Aaron Rodgers because, you know, we're on the side of you got to appease your star quarterback. He's the one that brings relevancy to your team. He's the one that carries your franchise to where it needs to be. So if you had to ask me, JJ, corporate America, am I going to want the quarterback or the GM? Nobody knows the GM's name. Everybody knows Aaron Rodgers is. So give me Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? So that's the way you got to go about it. If you're Green Bay, listen, Aaron Rodgers literally just wants to be the one driving the car. He don't care. He just wants to know that he's in control. So like Pride said, we have mentioned a few weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers, as long as he's in the process of who's hired, he knows he picked that guy. So he knows that if that flops, it will come back on him. So he accepts that pressure, and he's cool with that. But I don't know. From like I said, 1 to 5, 1 to 10, I'm a 5. It really all depends on what Green Bay decides to do with Pride, and hopefully they do make the right decision and side with the quarterback and not with the GM.
Well, like, yeah, we'll see. Honestly, it's all going to come down to whenever Aaron Rodgers decides to put his foot down officially and saying, this is the date y'all got to make a choice. I feel like once he does that, now we can start worrying about it. Because as of right now, it more like the way everything is being portrayed, they could fire Mike Gutekunst literally the third week of the preseason, right before week one of the NFL season, and Aaron Rodgers will sign. That's how it's being portrayed. So the thing is, if Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, okay, you guys have until week one, and if there's nothing done by week one, I mean, it won't be week one. He's going to want to give himself some time to actually be able to be moved if that's the case. But there's no way you can sit there and say, oh my God, it's impossible. He's not going to start. When the guy hasn't even set a deadline, the guy never said, oh, I refuse to play for this organization. He straight up told y'all this. If well, y'all
he
want
did
me to
say he wasn't coming back, bro. He did say that.
He said, well, yeah, but okay, say the full quote. Hold on, but yeah. Say the full quote. Quote was, I'm not coming back as long as Brian Gutekunst is here. That's not the exact quote, but that's the overall gist. His thing was, I don't want that guy here. He basically was like, this dude's been spitting on me for 3 years. I'm about to start spitting back. And guess what? I got a Louis that's been chilling the back of my throat for a week.
You know, and in a way, he's essentially doing what Michael Jordan did when Jerry Krause said, we're not bringing Phil back. He's like, if you don't bring back Phil, then I'm not going to play. And that's exactly what he did. He held true to that promise and did leave. You know what I mean? So, and then what happened to the Bulls after that? So hopefully the Packers take a lesson from that and realize pick the player, make the player happy over your selfish pride and the GM position. Players make the team, not the GMs.
But the thing is, if he retires, I don't think he's coming back. That's just me. I don't think he's coming back because it seems like he's kind of got his life outside of football, like not really like laid out, but the bricks are starting to be laid in place. Like, you know what I mean? So if he retires, unless it's like some wild super, some like super team that like he needs to show up and only drop 10 touchdowns for the season, sure, he'll come out because that's a guaranteed break. But if it's nothing like that, I just don't. If he retires, I could literally see him saying, okay, I'm gone. Don't bother me for nothing.
Yeah, you guys are right. You know, and I think that Green Bay should take a book out of your boy JJ's line and put a ring on Aaron Rodgers. He's worth it.
They better.
But speaking of rings, you know, somebody named Shannon Sharp gave his young nephew a little ring of his own right in the middle of Undisputed. Shannon Sharp was so gangster and cold. His little nephew, Julio Jones, asked him a question. Let me play it for you guys.
Are you want to stay in Atlanta?
Oh, man,
Nah, I'm out of there, man.
Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I want to win.
Okay. Yeah. Well, don't go to Dallas. If you go to, you ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Man, listen, come on, man. You already know, I know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, nah, yeah. I ain't going to Dallas, man. I never thought about going to Dallas.
Bro skipped hard.
Yeah, that's one of my all-time favorite quotes, Sander. You already know that I know. That's one of my favorite quotes of all time. Sander, you're a Cowboys fan. I know you would have loved to have Julio, even though you guys got some good receivers. None of them ain't Julio, and he will be awesome anywhere he lands. But, you know, we did talk a little Julio on our last show on Friday, so I don't want to drag it out too much. But, hey, now it's official. Julio's going to be out of Atlanta, Sander. So where do you think he's going to land?
Well, straight up, off rip. Once it was like coming out of his mouth that he was out, the first team that came to mind, guys, is the San Francisco 49ers. You add Julio Jones to that receiving core, which is already pretty good with a few slot guys, a few speedsters, but you add Julio Jones, who's a speedster and a slot guy, and just every receiver built in one.
He's the man, everything,
possession, everything, absolutely everything. You add him to George Kittle, and the offensive line who's getting help, who's gotten healthy, I'm telling you, you add Julio Jones to that team. And remember what I said last segment, right? You add Julio Jones
to the 49ers,
and then you can bring Aaron Rodgers to California. They already attempted once, bro. What makes you think they won't
and try And then failed.
Listen, but what
they,
I'm saying
But then they went and got Trey Lance, so.
They got Trey Lance
and they still were training for Aaron Rodgers after. They traded for Aaron Rodgers after the draft. But regardless to what, I feel like San Fran lands Julio Jones. For sure it can make him a contender because the defense is all set. That defense is top five when healthy, no joke. So you bring Julio Jones, Aaron Rodgers will probably be looking over the fence like the guy from Home Improvement. Maybe I want to go over there. So that's what I'm thinking. I think San Fran needs to get on the phone right now and drop whatever they need to get Julio Jones.
Not even close. Because then you got to – so what? You're trading to get Julio, and then you're going to give up more assets you're not going to have to get A-Rod. Let this sink in because it makes zero sense. Because what do they have to give up? Their young core, they already committed to him. They said they don't want to trade anyone. The only person who's potentially on the move is Jimmy Garoppolo. And the 49ers are just waiting for him to just take the wrong step. They're going to tell this dude to go straight. He's going to go straight, and they're going to want to trade him. He's the only really asset right now that they desperately want to get rid of. After that, what would they have? So to me, that just does. I mean, can they get Julio? Possibly. Maybe they go, oh, yo, we'll give you Julio for Jimmy. That's a possibility. You know what I mean? We could do something like that. But to them be like, oh, yeah, then that'll entice Aaron Rodgers. No, because not only do you have to trade, but on top of that, Aaron Rodgers made it clear. The next place I go, if I'm not getting anything at least 5 years, you can miss me and then some and more. So and the 49ers have room to get him, but they don't have that room to give him that deal and to keep Julio. Because at the same time, Julio says where he wants to go, he said it, he wants to win, but at the same time, money still matters. And he's still not only does he want to
he can still win with that team though without Aaron Rodgers though. Adding Julio Jones to the San Francisco
49ers. But what I'm saying is you're saying once Julio gets there, Aaron Rodgers is gonna be looking. He's not gonna be looking. He can't.
He'll look.
And how are you gonna look? That is like me going out, right? That's like me going out, me on a diet, and I roll by the Chinese place. So I pull over and I start looking. What is that doing for me? What does that do for me?
No, you know you're going to eat at that restaurant.
I got to get some lettuce. That's what I'm here for. So, you know, who should be getting him? Obviously, I've said this before. I think we should be getting for him. I think the Patriots, we should be getting for him. And there's, like, rumors that he wants to play with Cam. And, like, that got me happy. That got me happy. Now, if it'll happen or not, I don't know. Another team, the Colts, because – again, I've said before, bro, like the Colts are trending up. And if you can get a guy like Julio and add it to that team, that they definitely be a threat. So, I mean, regardless, the market in terms for Julio is going to be wide open. So it's going to be one like he literally will be able to determine where he goes, especially considering that he asked for a trade months ago.
So, yeah. Like, this isn't like a heartbreaking thing. It's more along the lines of like, all right, y'all finally let me out. Bye. I hope y'all run out of gas. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, I think all those teams are possibilities. And it's funny what I wanted to say about, you know, your point about Aaron Rodgers looking at San Francisco. You know, you could look at the hot girl, but the hot girl's not always going to look back at you. So, mm-hmm. You know, Aaron Rodgers might be looking at a fat ass, but she might not be looking at him.
Hey, but this girl DM'd him, so it ain't the same thing.
Yeah, right, but then she picked up a young stud. She's preoccupied. She's good. They got Trey Lance. They don't need Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, I think that all those teams make sense, you know, for Julio. I think that all those teams you guys mentioned have an upgrade for Matt Ryan. So I think that he's excited to look for a better quarterback. Maybe Matt Ryan's a better thrower of the ball than Cam Newton necessarily, but Cam Newton is a better overall athlete, can make it more happen than Matt Ryan can. I think that that'd be a great spot for him in New England Pride because they obviously need a number one receiver. Bad, 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 bad. And if you land in Indianapolis, that's just that you're adding already to a good team. And I think that that's what he wants. He, on the phone call, as everybody heard that we played the clip from Undisputed, he said he just wants to win. And I think that's very important to him. So even if it comes to a situation where it might not make sense to the public, as long as it makes sense to him and he thinks that he can help that particular team win, then I think Julio's going to make the right decision for what's best for him.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, bro, it's this whole trade thing, it's perfect for him because he literally gets to decide where he wants to go. So, you know, we'll see how this whole thing plays out.
So you won as a player.
Yeah, you want to control your own destiny at all times. And, you know, LeBron made that happen. And it seems to see that the NFL players are now starting to take some of that power into their own destinies. But, you know, perfect way to transition to our man LeBron, because him and his Lakers fell to the Phoenix Suns. And those other guys in the basement, as they call it, the Clippers, Kawhi and Paul George, they fell to the Dallas Mavericks over the weekend. Yeah, I'll call it shady. I don't like the Clippers. Anybody that knows me knows it. I don't care. I say it in the public. Whatever. But nonetheless, they lost to the Mavericks. My man, Luka Doncic, you know I love him. He actually put up a show and sent those Clippers down to 0-1. So, you know, little trouble in L.A., Pride.
You're
too small. Oh, isn't that great, Sander? But nonetheless, Pride, you know, both these teams are now down 0-1. Who do you think needs to bounce back, win more in game two?
The Clippers. They need it bad. Picture this. Everyone was saying last year, Dallas could have knocked the Clippers out of the playoffs if it wasn't for one blown call. Now, sit down and think about it. Now, imagine if they knock them out the playoffs. For one, Kawhi could dip. Like, this is really bad for them. If they don't make it to at least the Western Conference Finals, Kawhi will leave so fast. And then who are you going to have left? Paul George? Is that really – again – we've seen this movie before, but just Paul George. Go see the Indiana Pacers. We've seen this movie before. It's a horrible movie. You go on Rotten Tomatoes. You look up Paul George movie. Guess what? It's got zero. Like, it's garbage, bro. Like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be that guy, but that's how it is, bro. The Clippers need this bad. Obviously, let's not also blow this out of proportion, okay? It's only game one, all right? So we can, you know, I'm not bugging too much on either side, but in terms of who needs it bad, definitely got to be the Clippers, bro, because they have a lot. Because think about it. When they first got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, oh, yeah, bro, we a championship team. Couldn't make the championship. So now it's going to be the second year in a row that all these dogs are supposed to be able to come out. Like, look, bro, they may be dogs, but I don't know who I'm looking at. A bunch of Rottweilers or a bunch of Chihuahuas. I don't know what kind of dogs they are right now. And honestly, I'm not even going to waste my time even trying to figure it out. It's going to be crazy to see, bro. But like I said, 100%, it's definitely the Clippers, bro, because they got a lot more hanging in the balance. In terms of the Lakers, bro, think about it. They just won the championship. And let's say they lose in the first round. They could technically say, oh, yeah, it was injuries. They could technically say that. Even, you know what I mean? I mean, me personally, if they lost in the first round, you can consider it a disappointment. But they just won the championship last year. So I feel like with that in their back pocket, they lose this year, they could be like, you know what? We lost. Let's retool, go back to the drawing board, and let's try to tackle it again next year. In terms for the Clippers, if they lose, bro, they're not going to be spoken to about again. You want to talk about the basement, bro? Forget the basement. We got to put them in a grave 6 feet under because they need to go lower than that, bro.
we got to get Sacramento over here. We'll give them the basement because this is getting absurd. Like, I'm not, like, you know what I mean? This is getting totally like ridiculous, man. I mean, obviously, you see that bad man, Luka Doncic. I mean, this dude showed up, he balled, did his thing. The whole Phoenix Suns, that game, they had a scuffle. People were like crying LeBron because he flopped. That, I never laughed so hard in my life. I love LeBron, but you know, I don't. You know what I mean? I'm out here in South Carolina. You feel me? I sneeze, he'll go down, and he chilling in L.A. So I don't know what's going on with him. You know, I lied. It was in Phoenix. You know what I mean? So it's going to be crazy. But like I said, don't panic too much yet. It's just the first game of the first round. So I want to see how I want this question asked again in four more games. I want to see how things portray and see. Because now think about it. If the Clippers bounce in the first round, don't matter what happened with the Lakers. It don't matter. Clippers are going to be bugging because now they're gonna have to hope that Kawhi has the patience to do one more year. So in terms of me, bro, I got to give it to the Clippers.
Yeah, no pride. There's nothing that I love more doing on this show than arguing with you and straight up going back and forth with you and you know, going back and forth, brother, because that's what we're here for. But to be realistic sometimes, guys, it's the Clippers, man. You said it, Pride. The Lakers are coming off a championship year regardless of the fact that they're down 0-1 right now and regardless of the fact that they have a low seed. They've been hurt. They're playing hurt. They're still not 100%. At least I'm not convinced neither LeBron or Anthony Davis is. All the pressure right now is on the Clippers. You say it's just game one. Pride, we saw this last season with the Clippers where they underachieved in game one and the Dallas Mavericks actually looked like they're going to come through and eliminate them if it wasn't for maybe Porzingis going down. And quite honestly, guys, the Clippers have no excuse, bro. No excuse. They're all healthy. They did load management all season, especially during the end of the season where everybody's like, wait a minute, you don't care about seeding? Oh, no, we don't care about seeding. And then they throw a game so they don't get the seed or third seed, so they don't have to play the Lakers, supposedly, everybody says. All the pressure is on the Clippers. The Lakers, they good. They coming off a year with one. This is a repeat year for the Lakers. This is a year where they have a chance to go again. So the pressure is all on those Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, all that noise, all those commercials that you made when you arrived to LA, you put the crown on your head or something like that. Where's all that noise? The playoff Kawhi P. Town. Playoff Kawhi. P. Paul George talking about, oh, I'm different. In the beginning of the season, Paul George was saying things like, oh, I got a new trainer that I had when I was an MVP candidate. I'm different. I got that dog mentality. He had a really good regular season, but the playoffs come and on cue. You don't provide us with that playoff P that you're supposed to. Kawhi and Paul George. Those two wings, they're supposed to give you on a bad night 25 apiece. They're that good. They're that talented. But when playoff P goes to pandemic P, I'm telling you right now, the Clippers have no chance. And they have and the Dallas Mavericks have an opportunity. If Porzingis stays healthy, I'm going to do a pride. If Porzingis stays healthy, they have a really big chance of taking the series. And if they do, oh Lord, like you said, Pride, regardless of what happens with the Lakers, we're really not gonna look at it. We're gonna look at the Clippers like, you guys were healthy, you guys didn't overexert yourself in the play in the regular season. You guys got a pretty good seed, and you guys got run in the midst for this time. This time, and you guys let us down in game one. Well, not us, but you guys let your fans down in game one to a lower seed Dallas Mavericks. But guess what? I think that the Clippers are going into this series with this mindset. You know what? Last season we handled them. We're gonna handle them this season too. That's not how it works in the NBA, especially with a guy like Luka. Luka's trying to be one of the greats. Porzingis is trying to make a name for himself. These are dogs. So you got to play with the intensity. Oh, this is playoffs, baby. You can't come into it lackadaisical. And if the Clippers don't shape up, because I feel like they're the ones that need this more than the Lakers. If the Lakers didn't win a championship last year, we're having a completely different conversation. But because the Lakers got a ring to sit on, maybe a year, you said it perfectly, Pride. They're hurt. If they do lose, they can at least use, listen, we weren't 100%. We're going to use this season to get 100% and give it another go next season. That's fine. But the Clippers, bro, they have no excuse. And if they mess this up, they got to blow it up. Because, honestly, if you can't win with Kawhi and Paul George and Rondo and Ibaka and DeMarcus Cousins, even though DeMarcus Cousins ain't the DeMarcus Cousins of 3-4 years ago, but still, the Clippers should no less reach the Western Conference Finals. Anything less is a complete, utter disappointment.
I agree, you know, and they actually set those standards for themselves as of last year. You know, they were all set, oh, we're going to meet the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, and we're going to beat them. The Nuggets last year got the best of you guys. You guys fell a little short. And, you know, we're going to hat-trick this one. I think we're all in agreement. The Clippers need to win a lot more. You know, I saw this amazing stat where it came to throughout the whole league, teams that lose game one, they only won 27% of the series. LeBron, whenever he loses game one, he wins 60% of the series, and that's the guy that the Lakers happen to have on their side right now. And the Lakers have a history of winning championships, of being able to persevere through tough times. What the hell do you know the Clippers for? Absolute caca. That's what you know them for being that garbage team in the basement, like I just said. They don't win nothing. They were good when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin were there. They were lob city, and they were entertaining to watch. But what they do? Fall short to the Spurs, fall short to this team, fall short to that team, because that's who they are. So, yes, absolutely the Clippers need this team more because they're already clowns as this. And if they were to lose to this Luka team, listen, I'm not going to be racial about it, but you know they're going to say you got beat by the team with the white boy. You know they're going to say that. Luka's a bad man, and he should get all the respect he is, but you already know they're going to tell them that. And ain't no shame listening to Luka because Luka's the man. But they are supposed to be the favorites in this series. And if they lose to the Mavericks after they had beaten them last year as well, you're going to hear a lot of buzz from Clippers, and that team, could, as quickly as it came together, Pride, it could come apart really fast, like you mentioned.
Yeah, 100%. Real quick, man. It's funny. You put up a comment from Jace. It's crazy how he's chatting, but his Jazz just got beat by Nacy. Throwing it out there for a friend, Jace. I told you that they're overrated, but, you know, yeah. Let me shut up. We were actually talking about this on Saturday. I was on the Posting Up podcast. Love those dudes. And we were actually thinking about, you know, predicting this, right? I thought this was going to go seven series, right? I had the Clippers, right? My concern is Paul George, okay? You want to talk about Pandemic P? I got a better one. You want to call himself Playoff P? My man is Playoff PP. That's how he played, bro. This dude is horrendous. This dude is horrible. You feel me? And he'd be like, oh, my God, it was the anxiety. Bro, well, guess what? You give me anxiety every time you shoot a corner three and you hit in the backboard. I don't want to hear nothing about that, bro. Because when you – like, and again, I understand depression, anxiety, it's a real thing. But I just think it's funny how Paul George had anxiety every time he had a bad game. I think it's funny he had anxiety when every single time he missed performing, people asked him about it, he wanted to dodge the question. I think it's funny he had anxiety every single time when he underperformed and people try to hold him accountable. I just think that's funny. But, you know, honestly, bro, and this is something we also have to remember about the Clippers, right? Yeah, they got Kawhi. Yeah, they got Paul George. Paul George was not Kawhi's number one choice. He did not pick up the phone saying, I need Paul George. First, he wanted Jimmy Butler. Then he wanted Kyrie. So this dude is at best, and those are just the two names, you know.
He wanted KD too.
Yes, like, exactly. So I mean, he was chatting with other guys before he even remembered Paul George was still in the league. Forget calling him. Before he even remembered he was still in the league. So it's definitely going to be pressure on Clippers. But I just want to say one thing. Speaking of posting up, Zay, he a Knicks fan. Don't you love it when the Knicks lose, man? Don't you love it?
It's real quiet in here.
It's a wonderful day in this neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? Look, man, we can get swept. I don't care. But if New York is chilling with us, I'm living my best life, bro. Ice Trey. And listen, haven't been his biggest fan because I always thought he put up empty calorie numbers. I'll be honest. But from what I've seen, and granted, it's only one game in the playoffs, so I'm not going to, you know, go too crazy. But the kid not only showed up, my man after the game talking about, man, I want the crowd to say F me. Come on, bro. Like, you know, he trying to play the villain, bro. Like,
he on that energy.
Yeah, yo, he on that energy, bro. That's what he on. he been chilling with old O'Shea Sharp a little bit, bro, because he on that hen dog, bro. But you know, it's crazy, bro. Honestly, this is the first time, and I said this like last show. I thought the beginning of this playoffs was gonna be whack. I really did. I really wasn't looking into it. I thought there was gonna be a couple good games, but I mean that Hawks Knicks game was a solid game. Yeah. I mean, even when we played the Nets, yeah, we lost, but we hung in there for I think about three quarters, like 2.5, 3 quarters. We hung in there, you know what I mean? Which we kind of did what we can, you know. Obviously Miami Heat's dog water, they're trash. Get them out of here, bro. They lost to Giannis. Let's keep that going. Is OKC in the playoffs? Oh, my bad. You posted free agent. My bad. Why am I talking? But no, all jokes aside though, this first round is actually kind of entertaining. Some games are actually caught, like for instance, the Grizzlies. I want them. Because I hate the Grizzlies. Hate them with a passion, burning passion, almost as much as I hate New York. And that's just because JJ's rooting for him now. That's the only reason. I'll be honest. I'm going to be 100% honest. I got to be a contrarian somehow. But nice. I'm conflicted, right? Because I want them to lose. But Jace is a Jazz fan, and I was running my mouth a lot. I will say this to my dying breath. The Jazz is the second most overrated one seed in the history of the NBA.
Brother, I'll say that to the NBA.
Like, you know, so – but, you know, it's – I can't believe I'm saying this. First of all, it's actually kind of interesting. Like, you know, as much as I wanted to give it some, I wanted to poo-poo on it, actually kind of interesting.
Bro, like I said, the Utah Jazz are the NBA version of the Buffalo Bills. They had a great run in the 90s. They reached a few final appearances and then lost. And then ever since then, they haven't been able to reach those glory days. So that's what I think of Utah Jazz whenever you say Utah Jazz around me. That's it. I could care less for you, bro.
You can never take the Jazz too seriously, you know, until they actually win a championship. I guess we're never going to be convinced of them. Sure. But nonetheless, you know, it is Monday, and I could do our update with the Stir the Pot predictions presented by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure that you let experienced professional handle your financials, because it's always better when somebody that knows what they're doing does what they need to do when you don't know what you're doing. But nonetheless, I'm very excited for this week. You know, I wasn't here for it on Friday, but I am here for it today. And of course, you know, we had a guest here on Friday that made an appearance and made a prediction, and I had to bring him back so he could, you know, stand true to his guns. Oh, man. With us today, how you doing, Joe?
Doing much better after this weekend, I'll tell you.
No, why gotta violate like that? Whoa!
All right, special surprise for sure. You know, thanks for having the time for us, Joe. Always love having you here. Thanks for being on here on Friday with me.
Got to tell you, first of all, I had a blast. Had a blast filling in for you. Thank you and congratulations, by the way. Thank you. Sander was great to work with. I really enjoyed that. I'm just playing. I tell you what, dude. I'll talk fighting with Riley any day of the week. He was wrong about Josh Taylor, and it's fair. I'll tell you what. You know, I've been saying Josh Taylor needed to fight somebody big, and it needed to be in the United States. This guy's so good, and all he's been doing is beating on ex-champions. That's why he's 17-0 or now 18-0, and he's got all four belts. This guy has been fighting the best fights he could get. He's not afraid of anybody. I'm not saying he's going to beat Bud Crawford, but I'll tell you this. I don't think there's a guy in the game right now that could give Bud Crawford the kind of fight he deserves. He deserves a fight like this. He's going to get a great fight from Josh. And I will say this. I pointed out about Jose Ramirez, and I'm sure you guys noticed it, doesn't throw any rights.
No, he doesn't. He's really relying on that left.
Really? And you know what? Listen, when the key to beating a southpaw is the straight right. And when you don't have it, you're going to have a really hard time winning. After the second knockdown, the fight was over. I got to say, a heart on Ramirez of a champion, because, dude, he could have gone out at any point after that. nothing he did after that I thought was particularly effective. For him to fight like he did all the way out, win a couple of rounds, was amazing. And the other thing I would say, and we, Riley, we talked about this, and you were exactly right. If you watch Taylor and Ramirez, if you want to be a boxer this day and age, watch that fight. Because everybody wants to punch people in the head. A lot of headhunters, guys like Tank Davis, they want to try to knock your block off. You want to win a fight? What do you want to fight? Beat that guy's body for five rounds. And by the seventh round, when he can't keep his hands up, that's when you start popping his face in and out. Mm-hmm. That's how great fighters fight. The other thing, and he didn't get to really didn't do a good job of it early on, I thought, but Josh Taylor's cutting off of the ring is, to me, second to none to of like any fighter in any. Dude, this guy is a master. And the other thing about Ramirez and why I knew he beat Ramirez, one of the things Ramirez has struggled with in his career, he's obviously a great fighter, doesn't like those really skilled technical fighters. And so he was getting that on top of a lefty, and he doesn't throw a right. I just felt like there's no way Taylor could win this fight. But Ramirez could win the fight. Got to say, to survive that uppercut and to hang around for five more.
So yeah, I just want to start off. Yeah, I just want to start off first and foremost. Joe, I apologize. I will never in my life test your knowledge again. Ladies and gentlemen, if Joe tells you, to quote the great O'Shea Sharp, if this man tells you grass is going to turn to cheese, you better start hustling crackers. This man, I will never test you. I'm sorry. You were right. I'll be honest. I was trying to go against you just to be a cornball, but I thought maybe I had a little bit of a chance. I think it was like the second or third round. I saw Taylor having difficulty. So I started feeling real good. And I think it was the fifth round when it looked like Ramirez was not really running, but he kind of felt confident, like, oh yeah, this dude can't do nothing. He almost felt like he had the footwork solid. And it was funny because I just saw all of a sudden Taylor be like, oh, I got him. Now I see how he maneuvers. To me, it felt like the first three rounds, he was just toying with him and trying to get used to him and see, okay, if I cut him off here, is he going to try to push through? Or is he going to stop where he is, or is he going to change course? So I feel like the first couple rounds, he was kind of testing him, seeing him, what are you going to do? Let me do this, see how you react. Because after the fifth round and passed, I was embarrassed. I felt embarrassed. I wasn't even fighting. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Getty. JJ, thank you for bringing him on. I hate you with great intensity. But, of course, Joe, you're right, and I apologize for testing your knowledge.
Listen, it's all good. I spent a lot of time researching my fights. You know, and I'll tell you what, again, Ramirez, nothing but great respect for Jose Ramirez. To me, these guys could fight 10 times. I think Taylor beats them all 10. It's a matchup nightmare if you're Ramirez. And we say this all the time on Throwing Jabs. Styles make fights, you know. My brother, who's like a boxing historian, talks about the only guy George Foreman wouldn't fight in the 70s was Jerry Quarry. Seems like an odd choice of a guy that you'd be ducking. Well, why would he do that? Jerry Quarry was one of the best counter punchers in the game. And Big George thought, if I miss, this guy knocks me out. But here's the thing. What does George Foreman get if he beats Jerry Quarry? Nothing.
Nothing.
It was, he knew it was a bad fight for him. And to this day, he talks about the fact that I just want to know part of that guy. Just seemed like a fight. I'd probably win, but not one I was willing to lose. Yeah. So, you know, you a lot. Look, you know, we talk about Israel Adesanya, and he's got the fight with Marvin Vettori coming up. And I'll tell you what, I've been saying for the last 2 years now, Marvin Vettori needs to rematch Israel Adesanya. Gave him the fight of his life 2 years ago, and he did it. He did it on the ground, because if there's one thing nobody should do, anybody in their right mind should do, is stand toe-to-toe with a guy who fought 85 professional kickboxing matches before he got to the UFC.
Yeah.
His striking ability is off the charts. As Jan Blachowicz just showed everybody, he doesn't like to be on the ground. Nope. As a matter of fact, what we saw in the fourth and fifth round of that fight was he doesn't know what to do on the ground.
Yeah.
And Marvin Vettori's a really good wrestler.
You know,
it's not, it's a fight. Adesanya's been talking a lot of crap about him leading up to him getting that fight because he didn't want that fight because he knew. You know, Paul Acosta had a shot at him. A black belt of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and I thought, dude, he's got to get down and dirty. What did he do? Ah, standing there with the tongue out, and he got beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be smart. You got to listen. My biggest problem, I'll tell you one last thing, JJ, and I'll split. Justin Gaethje, one of my favorite fighters. Justin Gaethje's got one problem. You know what it is? Justin Gaethje said a few years ago, I want to be the most exciting fighter in the UFC. Khabib Nurmagomedov wasn't worried about being exciting.
Nope.
That's the difference between being a champion and being a guy who loses fights sometimes. That's the mentality that you have to take to this stuff. And so, there you go.
Yeah, just real quick. So, for the Marvin Adesanya fight, you have Marvin?
Marvin Vettori will outpoint him over five rounds. In the first fight, yeah, you want to go with me? Listen, in the first fight, Adesanya won the first round. In the second and third round, if you guys watched the fight, it's a three-rounder if you haven't seen it. Marvin Vettori had him on the ground the entire time, and Adesanya couldn't do anything. And the 29-28s were like, what? No way, dude. I tell you right now, had that fight gone five, there's no way Adesanya would have survived. There's no way he would have. And so I would say this, unless he spends some time learning how to wrestle leading up to this thing, he better get a bit. He's going to need a big knockout early or he is in big trouble. This is not a good fight for him.
All right, Joe. Well, I'm a glutton for punishment. I got Adesanya. We're betting again. I need redemption. I'm a glutton
for punishment.
I got Adesanya.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But in the meantime, Joe, I hope that you have a sweet tooth because probably got a bag of Skittles going your way on that fight.
Skittles!
Pride.
Don't doubt me, buddy. Don't do it.
I'll do it again.
This weekend, Pride. I don't remember it very well.
Oh, man. You guys are something else.
What was your prediction? I don't remember it very well, Pride.
Mine. I thought the most illustrious organization in all of Major League Baseball is 3-0. Alex Cora heard me.
They did.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Yankees the only team I know who won 100 games and then took in the playoffs. So as I was saying, problems were really interrupted. I thought, right, for some unknown reason, that we were going to go 3-0, right? Alex Cora heard me. He was like, you know what? Let's do them dirty. Let's win game one, game two, and let's rest some starters game three. That's kind of what they did to me. Like, how I felt this weekend, you guys ever went to your parents, right, to give them a hug? And they say, come here, I'll give you a hug. And you take a step, and they go, come here, one more hug. Like, come here, well, I'll give you a hug. You take another step, and then they kick you. That's what I felt like. I got flashbacks to, like, my olden days where I tried to hug my stepdad, and he, like, picked me up and threw me across the room. That's what the Red Sox did to me. Like, that's what these dudes did to me, bro. Like, bro, like, dude. Like, I was like, you guys ever seen that meme of Neil deGrasse Tyson? He goes, meow. And you just see my body just going across the living room, bro. Oh, that's what this Red Sox did to me, bro. Like, game one, I'm like, oh, yeah, we dropped 11 runs. I'm like, it's going to be a breeze, bro. Game two, I think we won by about 3 runs, but I still felt confident. We had E-Rod. I was like, yo, it's going to be a breeze. Click, first inning, 5 runs. Turned it off. Went to bed. I was very impressed. Like, I knew it was a wrap. I knew it was a wrap. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe we can come back. Bro, I put my Red Sox jersey on, was in my underwear. I was like cocooned up on my bed watching the phone. I was rocking. I was like, yeah, I was trying to do a rally cap, bro. I had my kid on my head too. I was like, come on, bro. We gotta win. I was looking hit, bro. We lost. I'm ready. Depression. Like, I typed in the chat immediately. I hate baseball. I stand by that statement today, JJ.
Yeah, and you know, we did have Shannon Sharp making an appearance earlier in the show, but it looks like he's making another one.
Come on, son!
Oh,
that's flaming hot, Pride. I'm sorry, did it to you.
I hate you.
Sander, how was your weekend, my G?
My week was great, you know, Philly basketball, and then we had a really good UFC fight night. You know, it wasn't the most exciting card of all time, but it had some good fights. headlined by my boy Font and Garbrandt. Man, it's a really good fight. It went all five rounds. And seeing Garbrandt, you know, in those later rounds just loading up and wanting to knock him out with the final round, like, I was, oh my God, because any punch that Garbrandt can connect, he can drop you, bro. He can drop you. He has that type of power. So I'm like thinking, please don't let him land the right. Please don't let him land the right. And he never landed the significant strike. But Font out. Font won via unanimous decision. A great fight for him. A great win for him. Is definitely going to bump him up in the rankings and probably give him another top 10 fight. So Boricua power can prevail, but I was predicting a knockout. And I didn't get the knockout, so my food, I asked for medium well, and they gave me rare.
I will tell you this, though. Rob, like, they were talking about this on the Throwing Jabs podcast, and they were saying that they're thinking about putting him in the title picture. My thing is, I wouldn't have an issue with that. I wouldn't. But I feel like if you give him one more, give him one top five, dude, and no matter how he wins, if he wins, this dude is definitely going to be a number one contender. Like, I feel like the next match he's in needs to be a number one contender match. Like it needs to be like a fight. Like yo, whoever wins, this is basically going to be the next guy that we're going to put up to the plate. So,
Makhachev?
Maybe. It'd be, honestly, Makhachev has been – he's been going up. And Rob Font, it looks like – because people want to put Makhachev in that conversation too. So, wait, why not throw them together and let them fight?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a very exciting.
All right, so that's the show. Yep, that's it. That's the show. Let's wrap it up here. No more predictions. No nothing. You wasn't here, so it don't count.
You know. Well, you know, I wasn't here on Friday, but it's a very eventful Friday. And for anybody that missed it, you know, we need a little recap, and you know, Pride, you were very thoughtful. You made a very heart sentimental video of me to start off the show. I took some time and I made a very heartfelt sentimental video for you as well, my friend.
Look, man, I just want John Moran to get out of here. I'm just once John Moran gets out of here, Joe, watch Monday, because I'm gonna press these boys. I'm gonna be like, yo, what's the excuse? And then if he wins, I'm just not showing up. I'm throwing that out there right now. I'm not showing up.
I guess I'm gonna be the only one.
Bro, my mouth has, like, I've written a lot of checks. I don't know if I can cash them. So, like, if I'm, like, over, I might be sick, if you catch my drift. Wow.
It's very eventful. I loved it. I loved watching it. You were so brave. So that's why I'm so happy that the Memphis Grizzlies were able to pull off this unlikely run to climb to the 8th seed. And then they even beat the Jazz in game one. And just to clarify, because, you know, we had a conversation about this, I'm not here saying that the Memphis Grizzlies are about to win a championship. I like the team. I thought they could pull off their way into the 8th seed. And they did. And right now they're currently overachieving. Maybe they'll beat the Jazz and make Jays upset and make me happy. We don't know. But nonetheless, Pride, I respect the fact that you were man enough to come on today's show, graceful enough, and did it like a man. I respect you for that, for not calling out sick. At least you showed up to work, not like Aaron Rodgers.
So what you just did, so you punched me in my jaw, right? I am down on the ground, right? You then kick me while I'm down, and then you spit on me.
And then gave that's you a napkin, and then gave you a napkin, and told you clean yourself up.
But that napkin, he like wiped his sweat off, like he put it under his pits, and then threw it at me. He's like, clean yourself, you filthy animal. That's what you just did.
And then you know what I did after that? I took a brown paper bag, and I was like, here's your lunch. But what you don't know is that I farted in the bag.
Look, man, yeah. Look, I'll be honest, yo. I was wrong. I'm gonna let you have your moment. I ain't gonna poop on it because it's not fair. You feel me? I already tried to poop on it earlier and you got mad at me. So I'm like, you know what? Let me not poop on him. He got it right. You know, good for you, man. You know, it's just, it is what it is. You know, I'm just gonna retire from sports.
I'm done with this. Nonetheless, Memphis still has a lot to grow with and to keep improving. So right now, even though they are the 8th seed, if they want to really solidify themselves as a legit contender in the West, Utah will be a good place to start, even though the odds are against them. I still give them a good team considering, you know, we do think that Utah might be a little overrated and they're missing Donovan Mitchell right now. So if anything could go right for Utah, for the Memphis Grizzlies, those two things right now are in their favor. But we'll keep eye on the rest of the playoff games because the playoffs have been great so far, guys. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Stir the Pot Spore 1 and Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Make sure you guys check out our website, www.clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And we're under CMG Sports. You'll find us right there, Stir the Pot Sports. I'm so excited, guys. We got a line of playoff games tonight, and it's going to be so fun. Pride, you're looking at me like you're so done with me, so I'm just going to stop talking.
I'm going to put it to you this way.
Wrap up this show.
I'm going to put it to you this way real quick. If the Grizzlies win two games, like if they win one more game, bro, I might quit. I just
going to Memphis,
bro. I'm gonna catch so much from you, bro, that it just might not
bro, work. If they sweep, it's a wrap for you, Pride.
For me, no. I'm just fucking on Jace because Jace is a Jazz fan. So I'm gonna do a quick little whoop and throw it over to him.
Oh, if that does happen, though, I am gonna need that broom you were gonna send to Joe because I would love to send that to Jace if that's the case. But
yes, sir. Nonetheless,
Jace, I love you. Don't hate me. I'm JJ Vargas alongside my brother Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Oh,